Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday here. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today live at Everbank Field. A little Stroud-Henderson combo platter to get your day off.
Yeah.
On the right foot. Like to get the M&M boys out there. Marks and Miller healthy. Saw Derek walking around yesterday. Getting around pretty good, Tony. He's got the brace on the knee. But it's not one of these bulky, ridiculous contraptions. And I just asked him how the knee's doing. He said it's doing really well. You know, and I didn't get into specifics and all that. I don't think he knows exactly when he's coming back. But you hope it's going as well as he seemed to indicate, you know, bad timing award on that one.
Yeah.
Being week 17.
Yeah, I know.
Bad timing award from September 20th to November 19th, if you want to see games here at Everbank.
Yeah.
Holy
Didn't
smokes.
They have about the same thing last year?
I don't think it was quite this long. I'm too lazy or up to this point to have gone and counted how many weeks they were mostly away from Everbank last year. But there was a long stretch, and I guess part of that is going to happen when you're playing one of those games in London, one of your home games every year. But even then, Tony, that stretch of games, if you count that as a true home game, that's 5 out of 7 games that they're on the road, throwing the bye week. And, okay, so you'd be home for 2 weeks out of 8. That's a 2-month stretch where you're going to have one Jaguar game at Everbank Field. And that, to me, we knew the opponents. And we knew where they would play the opponents, home or away. But it's that road grind week after week after week. And I, look, no excuses for being a young team anymore. What did Gus Bradley sit here and tell us yesterday? No limits,
no
right?
Limits.
No limits on the expectations for this team. No limits on how they perceive themselves. No, we're not going to build some false boundary that we keep banging up against. No, we're not going to go into it thinking like that. But I don't care how veteran a team you have. You spend that many weeks on the road. I mean, because look, the Buffalo game, yes, it's a technical home game, but you're going to play in Foxborough. You're going to play in Indianapolis. You're going to play down the road in Tampa. It's an easy road trip there. You're home for 1 week and then you fly to London. You get the week off. You're back on the road for 2 consecutive games right after that. But all that being said, based on winning percentage last year, which is a faulty way to do it, but it's really the only way we have to do it until we know how good these teams are going to be in 2015. The Jags have the 26th easiest schedule in the National Football League.
Yeah, hello NFC South.
Welcome to the
schedule. NFC South is basically what that's about. And look, you look at the schedule, and it's pretty obvious, really, what the not only that big trend of them being away from Everbank for a very long time, which is the one exception there with Houston being here on October 18th, but the way it starts with the 2 home games to get it started against Carolina and Miami here at Everbank, they need to be 2-0. They need to be 2-0 at that point in the
season.
They
have to be 2-0.
Going to New England and Indianapolis and Tampa Bay, not so much. But if those are 2 games that they lose at home against Carolina and Miami, now you're 0-2 going on the road to New England.
Even if you split, you're going to be, look, you're going up against the Super Bowl champs on the road
in
week 3.
If you split, you're looking probably at 2-3 if you can get that win on the road at Tampa.
Right, but I mean, look, it's not to say they can't beat Indianapolis. It's we're talking about in weeks 3 and 4, it's the 2 teams who went the farthest in the AFC last year,
yep.
Period. I don't think either one of them has taken a major step back. Yes, the Patriots lost Darrell Revis and Brandon Browner. They're not the exact same team. They had a pretty good, comfortable working margin on most of the teams in the AFC, including Jacksonville. So, yeah, I agree with you. You got to get that Carolina
game. It's their toughest back-to-back.
New
England
and
Indianapolis is their toughest back-to-back. You don't look at any other games back-to-back on that schedule and go, nope, like you do with New England and Indianapolis, which is why those first 2 home games are going to be so critical. And I get that this is a young team, and like you just said, you throw all that out the window.
I don't want to hear that.
But we don't know what they're going to look like yet, right? I mean, with all the questions we were talking about yesterday with these second and third year guys coming in, and it is a young football team, are they going to have it put together by the time we get to Sunday, September 13th? Well, they better. With Carolina coming to town and then Miami coming to town, they better have it all put together. They better be firing on all cylinders, or we're going to be looking at another year where 5-11 and 4-12 could be a very realistic possibility.
What was Carolina last year? 8-8?
Did they even get to 8?
Were they 7-8-1 They had a tie, right? They tied Cincinnati last year. Maybe they were 8-7-1 Whatever they were, they're right around 500, winning that division last year. Right now, they're much more dominant the year before. Their defense was much more dominant. They lost Greg Hardy basically last year. He was still on the roster, but he didn't play for them, and he won't be there this year. So, you know, going into it, I'm not going to sit here and say they can't beat the Carolina Panthers just because they're a playoff team and they beat the Arizona Cardinals, who were basically quarterback-less in the playoffs last year. They went toe-to-toe with Miami here last year. If Blake Bortles doesn't turn the ball over in that game, they got a really good chance to beat the Dolphins last year right here. They should be better this year. And I know you said that last year, right? And they took a step back in the record, but no limits. No limits, Tony. No excuses, no limits. Got to be better and got to come out of the gates fast as far as the schedule goes in 2015. So, a long way away. And again, it's the funniest thing. The NFL, you know, just captivates us because we know the opponents. It's not like we don't know who they're playing. It's not a surprise. Ooh, they're going to New Orleans. No, you knew they were going to New Orleans. You know exactly where they're going.
Right.
You know exactly who's
coming
here.
And even when they announce the schedule, this is a piece of information that's not going to change. From the moment they announce it, nothing changes between now and when they start playing these football games, but we'll go over it over and over
again. Now we hope that Cam Newton gets suspended for a game. We hope that Ryan Tannehill gets suspended for two.
Yep.
And we hope that Tom Brady gets suspended for three. Right? And that's kind of how it works. That's the
and
way
Andrew
I'm looking
Luck
at
gets
it.
Suspended forever.
And Andrew Luck, you know.
Out of the league!
Well, maybe he wants, maybe he's Russell Wilson. Maybe he wants to play baseball. Give it a try! Who knows?
Why not?
No limits.
The
Andrew.
Money's better in baseball, Andrew.
No limits. I don't know about for him. I
got a feeling the money may still be better in baseball.
The top end money in baseball is Mike Trout will make more money than Andrew Luck.
Easily.
But baseball Andrew Luck will not be making more money than football Andrew Luck as far as that goes. Right now, you wonder, Russell Wilson, if he didn't sign another big contract in football, which obviously he will at some point, could possibly top his career earnings by playing baseball, because he's only set to make $1.5 million this year in the final year of his rookie deal.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's off to the side. As you could probably imagine, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day is schedule-related. And again, you knew the opponents. You knew, if you cared to look it up, that they had the 26th-ranked strength of schedule based on opponents' winning percentage last year. But now you know the order in which they fall, the flow of the season. You're going to have that stretch of 2 months where you're basically road warriors for almost the entirety of that time. What do you think the record is? What is your gut telling you today what the Jaguars record will be? And if you have room, tell us why. Tell us some of the highlights. Obviously, if you're tweeting us, you got 140 characters or less to work with. We understand. You can also post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page and share your thoughts. The Twitter handles at MD _1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler. I wanted to point out, I got a lot of things I want to mention today, not specifically Jaguar related, but coming up today, we got Tony Pauline from DraftInsider.net.
Yep.
About 30 minutes from now, we'll spend a good 15-minute chunk with him talking about the latest scuttlebutt going around the National Football League. Does he think a Mariota deal is likely at two? Does he think the quarterbacks go 1-2? And what if so, what does that mean for Jacksonville and on and on? If you go to the Jaguars Today Facebook page, this is the easiest way for me to share this with everybody. Our good friend Daryl Spinner Howland, as most of you know, if you know who he is an Aussie native and has been in the States, built the Jacksonville Axemen Rugby Club from scratch and helped, you know, United States Rugby League get rolling the way it has, and has done a tremendous job here on the First Coast. They've got something the Aussies and Kiwis, the New Zealanders, celebrate called Anzac Day, and that commemorates, and it will be the 100th anniversary of that, the anniversary of the Aussies and Kiwis landing at Gallipoli during World War One. I don't know all the details, but it's a big military celebration. So if you are an expatriate from way down under and you're here in Jacksonville, there's going to be an event this weekend to memorialize that this Saturday at Memorial Park. So check that out on the Jaguars Today Facebook page if you want more details on that coming up. Again, give us your thoughts on the schedule today. We're going to hear from Skinny Blake a little bit later on in the show. Right, he's trimmed down. And we've talked about it, Tony, the mental wear and tear that he had. Basically, and it's not just Blake. It's all these guys, right? You're going to see it with Winston, with Mariota. You play a season. You go through the process. You immediately start getting ready for the draft. You're going through all this different training. You're interviewing with teams. You're flying all around the country. You're going to the Super Bowl maybe to Radio Row like Blake did last year, and you're publicizing yourself. You're getting your name out there. You're constantly on the move. You get drafted. Boom, rookie minicamp. Boom, on and on and on and on it goes. And we talk about the mental strain that puts on you. The physical wear and tear was too much for Blake last year as well in terms of his arm. He said his arm just got worn down late in the season. But he feels like with some rest and some rejuvenation, he's back to 100%. He's raring to go. We'll hear from him today. Stefan Wisniewski, Gus Bradley, and Julius Thomas, who yep. all spoke with the media yesterday. And, you know, Wisniewski, I wasn't there. I had a sales appointment, but you were there in the room.
Mm-hmm.
What was your impression of him just as a guy?
Confident. Confident. And I think, look, we talked about when he signed the deal over the weekend on Monday when John Osher was in here with us, but this is a guy who's betting on himself, essentially, that he's going to be healthy when the season comes around. He's going to be the starter for Jacksonville at center in his own mind when the season gets started, and that he's going to play well at that position and get himself paid going into the next offseason. And to me, that's the way he carried himself when he walked into that room today, seeing him for the first time. He is a confident guy in what his abilities are in this league, and he bet on himself on a one-year deal coming off that shoulder injury, and we'll, hopefully for Jacksonville it pays off, whether because he plays well here this year, and if they can sign him to a long-term extension, if that's the way things play out, fine. If they can't and have to go find another center, fine, but hopefully they got a good one for a year.
You know, truthfully, yesterday in speaking with Gus Bradley, to change the subject slightly here, as I alluded to, hey, are you in the market for any all-pro running backs? I really wonder if that's, you know, as he said, this is the first time I sat down since I got here at 6 this morning or whatever it was. He was
yeah.
meeting with the players. I really wonder if he was even aware of that buzz, and he comes out of the room, and then he has a press conference at 12:30 yesterday, and he addresses, oh, okay, I think it was almost dawning, I'm like, oh, that's what it is. There's a report out there that we're one of the teams in the mix to get Adrian Peterson. He shot that down yesterday. Not that it made any kind of logical sense anyway.
No.
For this team on the way up. So we'll hear thoughts from your head coach, your quarterback, your new tight end, and your new starting center, according to Stefan Wisniewski.
Oh, yeah. Confident guy.
Absolutely confident guy. So all that coming up. Your calls welcome at 641-1010. If you want to talk about highlights, lowlights of the schedule, you want to predict the record, you know how to do that via Twitter today with the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day, also on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. And who knows what else pops up over the course of the next 2 hours. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. We're on a Metro Rooter Wednesday live at Everbank Field. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I didn't know a lot about Jacksonville until I came on my visit here. I was really impressed with everything I found, starting with Gus Bradley. I mean, he really blew me away, kind of laying out his vision for how what he wants a football team to look like and how he wants everybody to interact, and I thought I was really impressed.
New Jaguars center Stefan Wisniewski. Call him on offensive lineman. Call him whatever you like. He sees himself as a starter here. We're going to hear more from him coming up here in a moment, Tony. I'd like to call Gus the closer. Also likes to call him the ice cream truck. That's my new name for him. It makes you happy when you hear him coming. But I'd like to call him the closer. But as he said yesterday, man, he didn't even meet half the free agents before they signed here. He's like, you know, it moves too quick. You don't have time.
Yeah.
You can't do all that. And Dave Caldwell, he's got to trust. You know, obviously they discuss these guys, but they can't get to know them. He's got to rely on Dave Caldwell to make the call on these guys to bring them in as what kind of guys and what kind of makeup they have. And he's excited about the type guys that they brought in, but certainly had an impact on Wisniewski, it sounded like. You know, the guy that was a slower process. That wasn't an immediate signing in free agency.
And you wonder with some of the other guys like Julius Thomas and, you know, Jermaine Purnell and these guys that they brought in that first wave that maybe didn't get the opportunity to meet Gus before they got here. They talked to Dave Caldwell, obviously, about whatever plan Caldwell had for him, and the money, I'm sure, came up while they were having those discussions. But they get to Jacksonville for the first time. You got to be a little bit nervous about what kind of situation you're walking into at that point. And then you meet a guy like Gus Bradley, and it's like, I'm going to be all right here. You know, it's like the atmosphere here in Jacksonville right now is good enough that a lot of guys who maybe come in and they're like, this is the place that I chose to be because of these other circumstances, and you get to walk in the door for the first time, you got to imagine, and it's what we've heard from these guys too, it's like, yeah, I'm going to be fine here. This is a good place for me to be.
Right. It's a good place. Now you got to win.
Yep.
You just have to win now. You have to win.
And that's something that Julius Thomas talked about yesterday, too. And for him, it was like a historical thing. He was like, you know, I chose to go to a high school that hadn't won anything. And people were like, why would you choose to go to that high school? And
they offered me the most money. No, I'm kidding.
They started winning. So then he goes to Portland State, and people are like, why would you go to Portland State? And he said, well, after we made two March Madness tournaments, people were like, okay, I could see why someone would go to Portland State. He's like, to me, it's the same kind of thing here. It's like when we start winning, that's it. You know, it's going to a place and establishing that kind of idea and mentality is something that Julius Thomas lives for.
If the Jags put 9 wins on the board this year, and I'm just throwing a number.
Celebrate,
say they put 9
baby.
On the board this year.
Celebrate.
You know what the buzz is going to be like about this organization going into next offseason? Now, that's a long way away. Let's not blow past the season. Let's enjoy every win. And let's no limits, Tony. I'm not going to cap them at 9. I'll cap them at 16 in the regular season. There is a limit to how many you play. But I couldn't imagine. I mean, everyone will catch on to what's been happening here.
Yeah.
But the winning has got to take place. Otherwise, it's just a feel-good story with no, you know, it's like it's a cupcake. It's empty calories is what it is. Next Thursday, the Jaguars Bud Light Draft Party, April 30th here at Everbank, 6 o'clock. Frangie and company are going to be broadcasting live. I would imagine the Frangie show might be in this studio. Don't be spilling a drink on our stuff, all right? Careful here in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Then the coverage will begin at 6 o'clock, mm-hmm. much like last year. Come out early. You can catch your coverage on the world's largest video boards. It's going to be family entertainment, player autographs, great food for more than 30 of your favorite local restaurants, and a lot of other stuff going on. And all fans attending, however, the Bud Light Draft Party need a free ticket to enter. Then again, it's free, so go online to jaguars.com/draft party and print your free ticket.
Yes.
But do that, or they're going to disappoint you when you show up without ticket in hand. Okay, so go to jaguars.com/draft party, take care of that, and there you go.
Come on out and celebrate.
Celebrate the selection of whomever
that's right.
it happens to be, or last maybe the trade and multiple selections.
Yes, last year we heard the boos for the first time for Caldwell and Bradley.
I guess it was unexpected.
It was.
You know?
It confused a lot of people.
By the way, is Jaguars today a show of the people? Would you say we're a show
yeah.
of the people? I think
we hooked up a guy with South America with Gus Bradley yesterday.
South America. Cristiano calls, we say, Gus, we got Cristiano on the line. Would you mind stepping into the studio,
right?
Has Duval Doom not sat in here as an equal co-host on this program? Yes,
right.
He has. As a representative of Jaguar Nation, right?
Yeah.
Christoph yesterday sends me a tweet. How come you haven't had Jimmy Smith on the show? I'm like, well, I haven't had a lot of guys on the show. All right, it's not a slight to Jimmy. All right, let's get Jimmy on the show. Jimmy's coming on the show 2 days from now, 10:15 Friday morning.
All right.
There you go. Jay Smooth. We'll talk football with Jimmy Smith, see what he's up to, and break down this receiver core and all kinds of stuff. Who knows what kind of hijinks we'll get into. Here's what we're going to get into right now. Let's hear some thoughts from the guys who were assembled at the podiums yesterday, starting with Gus Bradley, and talking about the offensive line, something we talked about him when he was in studio with us yesterday, and how it's starting to shape up.
You know, I was really impressed with the offensive line. You know, Luke Joko put on, you know, 13, 14 pounds. Brandon Linder is up close to 320. They have more mass to them. So I was really pleased with how that group came back.
Yeah, no limits, but man, are there a lot of questions. Before we get to the beginning of the season for the Jags, Luke Joko, one of the biggest among those. The center position, maybe not so much anymore. Gus Bradley also talked about the newest addition to the team, Stefan Wisniewski.
First of all, I like his leadership. That's a strong suit of his. I think his knowledge of our offense is a good thing. I think he brings flexibility. He can play center and guard. And just his overall temperament. He ran the show for the offensive line last year at Oakland, made all the calls, made all the adjustments. So I think that brings great value.
Well-regarded guy, started from the day he walked into the league, played through injury last year,
mm-hmm.
and if he is, as he expects to be, 100% healthy for training camp, boom, let's go. Gus Bradley talking about number 5, Skinny Blake, and the offseason that he's had so far.
He feels really good about his offseason, and that's a good sign. You know, he's not there yet, but I think he has a clearer view or clearer feel of what it should be like. You know, I think now when he goes out and does a routine, he has a very set, structured routine that he truly believes in. And I think last year at times he was trying to figure that out. He's always had confidence, but I think he's even more confident, I think, in what he can bring.
Obviously, some things still to be answered for Blake Bortles going into his second year. He's a guy that I think you and I have confidence in can be the answer at quarterback for this franchise going forward. But that question is not completely answered yet. One thing I do know about Blake Bortles, man, does he love football. And this was the first time that he's had a chance to take that breath in an offseason and get himself ready for a regular season. Bortles was asked about that yesterday. Was it just easier to focus getting away from football in the offseason?
There's a lot to do. You know, obviously, once you start playing, things kind of start to deteriorate, you know, especially when you're trying to work on things. It's hard to work on things and play at the same time. So this was an opportunity to go focus and solely just pay attention to that stuff. You know, you didn't have to worry about running a 40 or training for a shuttle or any of that stuff. So it was good to be able to focus on footwork and some mechanics and stuff. I was able to throw with Jordan and throw with Tom House up in L.A. multiple times and felt really good about it.
Look, they believe in a vision of Blake Bortles, right? When they drafted him, Tony, they weren't lying. They wanted him to sit and develop and work on these issues, these fundamentals, okay? Sink the lower body and the upper body. How many times did we talk about that last year, right?
Yeah.
But the offense was so abysmal.
Yeah. And he said his arm deteriorated over the season. Like, it was bad by the time he got to the end of the year.
When your mechanics are off, right, and you don't have time to really hone in on that, you could see how that could happen. And, you know, you're throwing constantly, as we talked about, since the end of the season. Specifically, where did Blake feel he got better this offseason?
I think footwork, I think overall throwing was kind of a point of emphasis, was how do I take stress off my arm and use, you know, my whole body, generate power, you know, from the ground through my legs and creating torque and doing all that stuff.
I'm telling you, he likes the game, guys. He loves the game of football and wants to be as good as he possibly can be. Blake Bortles also yesterday talked about what he heard from former teammates about his new center, Stefan Wisniewski.
You know, me and Derek briefly talked about him and his talents and how good he was and how smart and talented he was. But I actually had the opportunity to live with Latavius Murray, a college teammate who is a running back in Oakland. And he spoke very highly of Stefan, and, you know, just really said how intelligent he was, how many things he could do at the line of scrimmage, how much he could take off, you know, a quarterback's shoulders.
Let me point out, Stefan Wisniewski plays for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Stefan tells you what New York's hottest clubs are. Okay, that's how you tell the difference between the two. Stefan Wisniewski.
It's called Hole.
It's got everything. All right, Blake Bortles. Tom House has made himself. He's a cottage industry unto himself, Tony.
Yeah.
Former major league pitcher has decided, hey, I'm going to tell everybody I can fix your mechanics throwing the football. But, you know, he's worked with Tom Brady. He's worked with Drew Brees. He's worked with others. And he's worked with Blake Bortles as well. And Blake talked about the process of working with, call him a quarterback guru, if you will.
Tom House is obviously a guy that's incredibly smart. You know, he's got all these degrees in biomechanics and all that. And he's obviously a baseball guy, you know, but he knows throwers, and he's surrounded himself with some football guys that know some stuff about football. And there's a mold of how to correctly get your body to work together and throw the football. And everybody's got to kind of adapt that mold to themselves and their own throwing styles.
I know I'm excited about it, and I hope Blake Bortles is as excited about it as I am. The idea that it looks like Mercedes Lewis is going to be staying in Jacksonville and having Julius Thomas and Mercedes on the field at the same time. Blake was asked about that yesterday, having both those guys still in the fold.
It's unbelievable. I mean, to have those two guys on the same team, and, you know, that'll be a huge package for us, I'm sure. So, you know, I know briefly talking to Ole about it, he's excited to have a guy like Mercedes and then bring in a guy like Julius Thomas and have them on the field at the same time. Definitely is going to create mismatches and opportunities for us to do different things.
All right, finally, we asked Gus about this yesterday. Like, okay, now you can get together with these guys. I don't know if anything happens untoward when the rules don't allow it, but your offense coordinator can finally present to you what the offense is going to be, and Blake talked about getting the playbook.
Today, we were able to get a playbook, and kind of that was handed to us with an iPad, and that was kind of cool. You know, it's like Christmas, and it's a new toy. It's something you haven't seen before. It's exciting to be able to see what we're going to do and what we're going to be able to play with for the next, you know, hopefully many years.
What's a hot game now? Like Halo? Is that still big? I don't know.
Yeah, Halo 5's coming.
All right, Halo 5, right? Blake needs to be the kid who gets Halo 5 for Christmas and finishes it before New Year's, okay? You need to get up to speed with your new toy, all right? It's like, hey, check this thing out and then put it away. No. Okay? This is the one you got to wear out.
He strikes me as that type of guy.
I'm just saying. Let's wear that baby out before New Year's, all right? All right, coming up a little bit later on, Stefan Wisniewski, Julius Thomas, here's some of their thoughts along the way as they were in yesterday for the first day of all-season conditioning. But coming up next, how about Tony Pauline from DraftInsider.net, some of the latest scuttlebutt with the draft now just 8 days away. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, let's do this. 8 days away from the Media Mock Draft, year 11 for that. The NFL draft has been going on a few years more than that, but we really just started paying attention 11 years ago. Nevertheless, 7 days, I guess, from the Media Mock Draft, 8 days from the actual draft.
Yes.
I get myself confused, Tony. I
it
get
is
so
Wednesday.
Excited.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. We've got Tony Pauline, DraftInsider.net, whose overall top 25 and top 100 rankings will be out at the end of the week, but we're here to talk a little scuttlebutt as we come down 7, 8 days, no matter how many days it is. It's getting close. Tony, how are you today?
Busy, but getting close to, I guess, Christmas in April, as I like to say it, although last year was May. It was the last day of April this year, I guess, right?
Right. Are you? Do you like the? I mean, is it too long? Too much time, or is it a good amount of time? You need the time to get all the work done. How do you feel about the timing of it?
I'm just sad that it's not in New York anymore because that's where I'm based. The extra time. The funny thing is the extra time is nice, but then you're as far as I'm concerned, I'm right up against it for next year. Now, people will kind of say, "What is he talking about?" Usually when the draft is done, I take a 2-week break and then I start hitting the film for the following year's draft. When you have this long delay, it kind of puts you a little bit behind, your time schedule for the 2014's late draft put me a little bit behind, my time schedule for 2015. This year, not so bad. It's not a big deal. I do know this though. The agents absolutely hate this long delay because they're afraid that, they could wake up one morning and listen to the Mike Dempsey show and find out that the player they represented was arrested for a DUI or something else like that.
We break all the DUI news right here on 1010XL. That's right, Tony. Tony Pauline here with us. Tony, give us the scoop, top two picks of the draft. Are you in the camp that Marcus Mariota, who you have had as your number one player for a while, certainly your number one quarterback as well, are you convinced he's going number two, whether it's to Tennessee or some other team trading in there?
Yeah, pretty much so. I think it's been overblown. He's always been one of the top three players in the scouting community. It's people on the outside that have moved him, into the middle part of round one and out of the top 10, sort of like they did with Blake Bortles a year ago. I guess they're reading too much into the tea leaves or they're trying to create news. I would be shocked if Mariota gets past the second pick of the draft.
With that being said, a lot of talk has reheated back up with San Diego trying to get maybe to that number two spot to get Marcus Mariota because Philip Rivers may not be happy if that team's going to be moving to Los Angeles. Does that make sense to you from San Diego and Tennessee's perspective?
San Diego, yes. Tennessee, no. I mean, you look at the teams that have the most ammunition, the Cleveland Browns. I know that the New York Jets have a lot of ammunition, but, it's not a big jump from number two to number six. San Diego's going to have to offer a huge package in order to move up to get Marcus Mariota. I think he'd be a good fit for that system. But the fact is, when you look at it, it's probably dangerous for both teams because the amount that San Diego is going to have to give up to move up, and then Tennessee moving down all those slots could lose out on a lot of players.
We saw, I think it was Adam Schefter today, as a matter of fact, commented that he's not convinced that the Jags stay at three. If the quarterbacks are off the board, the top two guys are off the board, will there be a market in your mind for Leonard Williams or even for a Dante Fowler, one of those guys, if a team falls in love with a specific player, and which player do you think that's most likely to create that market?
I think it'll be Leonard Williams because while Dante Fowler's good, there's a lot of Dante Fowler-type players in the draft, whether it be Vic Beasley, whether it be Shane Ray. There's only one Leonard Williams, and really, Leonard Williams will be the number one player on my board at the end of the week. If you can move up to the third slot, or you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you're at the third slot, and you end up getting the best player in the draft who happens to be a defensive lineman that can rush, can be your interior rusher, you can play in three-man fronts, four-man fronts, there's going to be a big market for that type of player.
Are you convinced the Jags, if they stay there, should take Leonard Williams? Because people are making the case that the edge guy, be it Fowler, Beasley, whomever, would be a better fit based on personnel. They signed Jared Odrick. Assuming Cinderic Marks comes back healthy, they have Roy Miller, they have Ziggy Hood. I'm not saying these guys are Leonard Williams, but are you convinced that that is the right move to make, Leonard Williams, for this team?
You know, I would say so because he's the best player. He's an impact defensive player. He'll cause an immediate impact right away, and you can't have enough interior guys. And the fact is this, you know, they can come back in round two and get a guy like Nate Orchard, who's going to be a good edge rusher. Not as good as Dante Fowler, but I'll take Leonard Williams and Nate Orchard as a combo coming out of the draft and, you know, Dante Fowler and someone else in round two.
Let's say for whatever reason, though, Marcus Mariota doesn't come off the board at two. Tennessee sticks at two. They take Leonard Williams. The Jags don't get the offer they want to get out of that three spot. So if they're picking three with Jameis Winston and Leonard Williams off the board, what player do you like most to Jacksonville in that situation?
Well, then it would be Dante Fowler if they can't move down. I mean, obviously, they've needed a pass rusher for a long time now. This is nothing new with the organization. I think he'll do a good job, you know, out of a three-point stance. You can move him around. I think Gus Bradley will have a field day with that type of guy. Fowler's a good player. He's just a little bit height deficient. He doesn't have those classic measurables. He's not only just a pass rusher. I mean, he is an intense football player. He's a guy who doesn't just pin his ears back and rush up the field. He'll get up the field. He'll change direction. He pursues the ball handler from the backside with speed. He plays with a nonstop motor. There's a lot of things to like about Dante Fowler's game, and I think if Leonard Williams is off the board, obviously they're not going to take a quarterback. That makes absolute sense.
We were looking at, you know, it's all speculation right now, Tony. We understand that. But
absolutely,
we were looking at a mock draft earlier in the week from Dear Orlando Ledbetter, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, who's obviously pretty plugged in with the Falcons, and he thinks they love Dante Fowler, and he proposed that if it went Winston, Leonard Williams, that the Falcons might look to trade up to three and get Dante Fowler. Let's say the Jags did trade back to 8 or 10, in that range somewhere, depending on who cares what anybody came up for. Do you like Bud Dupree enough? Do you like Vic Beasley enough? Would you take a chance on a Shane Ray or a Randy Gregory in that range? Would they, if they got enough compensation, would they be better off making that move and accumulating more because the drop-off's not that steep?
This is a draft where you either want to be in the top 15 or you want to have a lot of second-round picks. You don't want to be in that late first-round area because it really tails off. Now, with that said, to answer your question, I would not draft Randy Gregory, that's for sure. Well, last time I was on with you, I said, and this is before the report came out that he tested positive, I said that he's going to be a big dropper on draft day. I still think that's true. I would not take him. I like Bud Dupree. I'm a big Bud Dupree fan. He's explosive. He's a very sudden player. He's fast up the field. He's athletic. He can drop off the line in coverage. You know, the interesting thing about all the players you mentioned, Bud Dupree was the only guy who worked out with the linebackers at the combine. He was listed as, despite his size being bigger than most of those guys, he was listed as a linebacker at the combine, which shows you the type of athleticism he has. I like Bud Dupree. Vic Beasley may be the guy who's more NFL ready, may be able to step in, you know, the weekend after Labor Day and perform for you quickly, but I think down the road, Bud Dupree has got the greater upside.
How important is that, though, for a team like Jacksonville, who's in a position where there is some urgency to start turning this thing around in 2015, and maybe Bud Dupree is a player that's going to be better off in 2017 and 18 than Vic Beasley, but Vic Beasley being a more finished product right now, how much does that weigh into a team's decision?
Well, it's got to. I mean, if they're feeling the pressure, I still think that Gus Bradley and the whole regime still has some time because they're headed in the right direction. But obviously it's an intangible that plays into what you're going to do.
Yeah, we think Gus has got a little time too. I mean, but you know, fans are going to be more restless, I think,
sure,
even than ownership is
here
in Jacksonville. So, you know, we're just obviously everybody's going over the schedule today and we're like, man, They play one game at EverBank, Tony, in an 8-week stretch. You better get some of those wins early and pad that resume. So Tony Pauline here with us, draftinsider.net. What about the wide receivers? It's been a wild card conversation here in Jacksonville for a while. Whether they stay at 3 or move down a few spots, is a guy like Amari Cooper worth a pick that high? And how do you feel about Kevin White and Devontae Parker?
Yeah, I mean, Amari Cooper is one of the top 3 or 4 players in the draft. I absolutely love him. And the fact is, this is, you look at the Alabama program, their running backs have not lived up to expectations in the NFL. Their defensive backs have really not lived up to expectation in the NFL. Their receivers have. Their receivers have been productive on Sunday football. Amari Cooper, I think he's NFL ready. I think you can plug him in just about any type of system. And the fact is he played in the NFL system in Alabama that used 2 tight ends that used a fullback. I like Kevin White. I think he's got a great amount of upside, but that wide-open system at West Virginia basically means there's going to be some bumps in the road. He's going to have to get used to playing in an NFL style of offense. Still, I think he's a top 7 type of player. Devontae Parker's not that far behind. Devontae Parker, very good possession-type receiver. Doesn't have the great height as compared to, say, Kevin White, but he gets up and he fights for those contested passes a little bit faster than people expected. And, you know, Devontae Parker beat down some of the better cornerbacks in the nation. I mean, that first game he came back against Florida State, the Thursday night game, he made P.J. Williams and Ronald Darby look pedestrian the way he just controlled them, and it was his first game back from the foot injury. I think all those guys are quality starters. I have them in that order, Amari Cooper, Kevin White, and then Devontae Parker. I think they're all, you know, will end up in the top 12, Amari Cooper going first, with probably to the Oakland Raiders.
Looking at the running back position, Todd Gurley gets the clean bill after going back for the examination up there in Indianapolis. I saw this morning Todd McShay has Gurley mocked number 6 to the Jets. How high could Gurley potentially rise up a draft board now that everyone thinks that knee is going to be fine?
Well, he's not going to go to the Jets. I mean, the Jets have a decent stable of running backs. They've added some through free agency. I believe they've just signed Stephen Ridley from they need more of a scat back. So I'd be shocked if he goes to the Jets. You know, you got to look at Minnesota. What are they going to do? You got the Adrian Peterson situation there. They don't want him. He doesn't want to be there. Can they get any sort of compensation for him? What is that compensation? And, you know, would they trade Peterson and then select Todd Gurley? I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Early on, immediately after Gurley had his injury, his knee injury, I thought that Melvin Gordon could go to the Minnesota Vikings, so it would make perfect sense, you know, with the Adrian Peterson situation, that the Vikings look in that direction.
For Jay Ajayi, we're hearing the buzz. Is he having any issue? Are teams scared or not? I know you wrote an item about that. We seem to have gotten some conflicting reports based on the fact that they didn't ask him to go for a medical recheck after the combine. What are you hearing about Jay Ajayi out of Boise State and his knee?
Yeah, well, it's not good things, and I like Jay Ajayi. I mean, I've been a big proponent of his. I had heard the initial story more than a week ago, and then it was since later confirmed, I believe, by other writers. Now, you know, I'm hearing that there have been some teams, not all teams, that have taken him off the board. That doesn't mean he's not going to get drafted. It doesn't mean he's not going to get drafted early. There may be a team, you know, you show 10 doctors an MRI, you can get 12 different opinions. And it's a team that, you know, likes and says, this knee is not a problem, that's going to select him. There are some teams, though, I can guarantee you this, there are some teams that have said, we're not going to draft him. You know, we don't like the situation. He's got a big body of work behind him at Boise State. He's taken a lot of carries. And they're just concerned about the knee. I think the fact that even though he's a talented ball carrier, this is a running back heavy class. You're going to be able to get good backs through the fourth round doesn't help the situation either.
Which was my follow-up to this, Tony. Let's say the Jags don't move. They have the exact picks they have now. Their next pick after round one would be pick 36 overall. A lot of people saying running back, a possibility there. We know they're going to add one at some point. Do you think the value is taking one there, or would you advise waiting till at least the top of the third round because of the deep class?
Well, it depends, number one, on what they do in round one. It also depends on what other players are available when they select in the second round. I mean, if a guy like Tevin Coleman happens to fall into their laps in round two, that may be too tough to pass up. They may have to go with Tevin Coleman. But still, if they want to wait until the third and fourth round, Cam Bernardus Payne will be available to him in the third round. A lot of teams out there, like David Cobb of Minnesota and Buck Allen, Jabari's Buck Allen of USC, they believe that these guys are going to be very good third, fourth round picks who are going to produce as rookies. You know, I think you have to look at the situation when it comes up in round two as to who they selected in round one, what are they staring at in round two, what players are on the board, and what's the best value, you know, when you look at their board.
The Jags, one of the issues with their depth chart right now happens to be a free safety. It seems like this is a really thin class at free safety. They're obviously not going to do anything with that position with the number three pick. But beyond that, looking at the second and third days of the draft, what kind of player would you target if you were Jacksonville for that position?
Well, I mean, the only guy that I would consider in their situation in round two would be Demarius Randall, who I 2 weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, I said could sneak into the late part of round one. Demarius Randall of Arizona State, he's a complete safety. He doesn't have the great size, but as we've seen, you can get by with smaller safeties. He's a terrific run defender with outstanding ball skills. His cover skills are so good. Some scouts feel that and coaches feel that he can actually play cornerback. So that is a guy who, and, you know, Gus Bradley had similar success with that type of smaller safety with excellent ball skills in Seattle. I mean, it seems like it would be a good fit to Demarius Randall at the top of round two. After Demarius Randall, it really falls off the cliff, and you're not talking about any sort of free safety or really coverage type of safety until later in the draft, maybe a guy like Chris Hackett of TCU, who's very football skilled, but he's foot slow, ran in the 4.8s at the combine, then only improved to the 4.7s during his pro day. Good football player, but just not a great athlete.
What about a guy like Eric Rowe out of Utah, who played safety early in his college career, switched to corner? We don't know if they'll be available, but let's say a guy like that is. Are there any guys like him that are currently looked at as cornerbacks that you'd say, wow, that would be worth the pick at 36 to convert him to safety?
Yeah, I mean, Rowe would be a consideration, absolutely, if he lasts that long. He is a guy that a lot of teams like. They like his football instincts. They like his coachability. I think the team that drafts him is going to look at him as a cornerback first because it's a much more of a priority position. And then if he can't play cornerback, they'll kick him into safety. I think if it's between him and a Demarius Randall type and you're looking more for a true safety, a guy that can come in right away, I'd lean more towards Demarius Randall of Arizona State.
Tony, is there a player or two that we haven't been talking about over and over and over again as far as first-round prospects that you've fallen in love with throughout this process evaluating players this year?
Well, as far as first-round prospects, no. In fact, my first-round board kind of falls off once you get to about the 20th player. So I really think there's only 20 players that are first-round worthy. Obviously, there's going to be 32 first-round picks, which means you're going to have a lot of second round picks, and I believe a lot of surprises in the bottom third of round one, with where guys who 2, 3, 4 months ago we weren't expecting to be first round picks, and I just mentioned two of them. Eric Rowe and Demarius Randall, who could actually end up in round one.
All right, other side of the coin, other than Randy Gregory, who's got the off field issues, is there a guy that many people are projecting top 10, top 12, that you think could be sitting around for a while waiting for his name to get called?
I'd be very surprised. I was asked this by the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday, and, you know, I just don't see it. Maybe Shane Ray falls out of the top 10, but he's not going to fall out of the 14. You're not going to have a guy sitting back there in the room, you know, who, you know, hours and hours just waiting for his name to be called. I would be very surprised. Maybe we'll find out in the next week that a red flag has popped up on somebody, but I've not heard that.
All right. Well, check out Tony Pauline's top 25 overall and top 100 at the end of the week at draftinsider.net. And in the meantime, give him a follow at Tony Pauline on Twitter, spelled just like it sounds, one of the best in the biz. Tony, always appreciate your time. Enjoy the next 8 days.
Thanks for having me.
All right, you got it, buddy. Tony Pauline, draftinsider.net. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday coming back with This Date in Football History and the Honda Drive around the NFL. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at Everbank Field. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, This Date in Football History.
All right, This Date in Football History brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. We hearken back to 1995, the first draft in Jaguar team history. Tony, do you recall Tony Boselli coming off the board. Of course you do.
I do.
You recall little man Stewart coming off the board in round one.
Absolutely.
Of course you do. Do you recall Brian DeMarco, the 40th overall selection?
I believe so.
I would think you would. You recall Brian Schwartz, also a second round pick. Four picks in the top two rounds. The Jags, no wonder they got good so quick, right?
Brian and Brian.
Brian and Brian, no question about it. You remember Chris Hudson?
I remember him.
You remember Chris Hudson, right? Made Cowher lose his mind. You remember Fred Taylor? Rob Johnson. Thank you, Rob. The 99th overall pick in round four that year. Do you remember Mike Thompson, defensive tackle out of Wisconsin?
Vaguely.
Liar. Do you remember Ryan Christopherson?
Only the name.
Yes. Let's see. Marcus Price out of LSU. Fred McCrary out of Mississippi State. Curtis Marsh, the wide receiver from Utah for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Of course, Mike Hollis. And let's see. Those were notable undrafted players. Mike Hollis and Tommy Mack signed as well out of Boston College in the Jaguars' initial draft wave. 1995 was the first draft of the Jags experience as a franchise. Also, got birthdays on this date in football history. 1959, Freeman McNeil was born, ran for over 8,000 yards. How about this? 12-year career, never had a yards per carry average below 4.0. That's pretty good. Jeff Hostetler won a Super Bowl for your Giants
in
1990. Super Bowl 25, threw for 222 and a touchdown in that one.
Safety like a champ.
Happy 54th birthday to Jeff Hostetler. Happy birthday, Beast Mode, born on this day, 1986, 29 years young, drafted number 12 overall by the Bills in 2007, has run for nearly 9,000 yards, and from Beast Mode to Least Mode, happy birthday to the great white height, Matt Jones, 32 years young-ish today.
The Blizzard.
The Blizzard, ladies and gentlemen. This state football history presented by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Their mission, to fabricate and install the highest quality fencing product for you at a competitive price and providing you unsurpassed customer service. Get a professional free estimate at your convenience by calling 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this state in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
The Carson City Council approved the stadium plan yesterday by a vote of 3-0, clearing the path a little bit more for the NFL's return to Los Angeles. The Carson plan was the one that involved the Raiders and Chargers sharing a stadium just outside of L.A., and yesterday's vote does not mean that the NFL is back in Los Angeles. It is, however, another step towards that goal in the end. Now, two stadium plans have been approved. Which one will actually be going in?
You see the item yesterday that these approvals basically waive all environmental regulations?
Nice.
This, hey, you know what? It's the NFL. We don't need to breathe clean air. It doesn't matter.
It does not matter. The NFL schedule was announced last night, in case you missed it. We've gone over the Jaguar schedule and probably will continue to pick over that information. The season gets started on Thursday, September 10th. The Pittsburgh Steelers will be visiting the defending champion New England Patriots. Sunday Night Football opens up with the New York Giants at Dallas in also week one, the now traditional Monday Night Football doubleheader to open the year with Philadelphia at Atlanta, Minnesota at San Francisco in the nightcap. Week one of Monday Night Football, Chicago will be at Green Bay on Thanksgiving night, and Brett Favre's jersey will be retired at Lambeau Field, number 4, never to be worn again. Also that same week, week 12, Sunday Night Football will be Manning v. Brady with New England at Denver on Sunday Night Football.
Hmm. It seemed to play a lot. Wasn't that the thing they always played at New England, it seemed like, right, mm-hmm. over the years? And people say, well, how come this is the NFL is just putting this together? It's like, there's a simple formula. And if you're in the number one thing is if you're in the conference and your team's finishing first place in their divisions, you're going to play each other next
yep.
year. All right.
And they've done that a lot.
Right. And then you take that out of it, and every 3 years you're going to play that division in its entirety as well. So
sure.
there were a lot of opportunities for both of those things to happen over the years. It did seem like they played every year, but it did seem like an inordinate amount of those were played at Foxborough as well. So who knows? You see, speaking of Foxborough, which is within, what is it, Walpole, the prison where Aaron Hernandez will be residing.
He may be able to hear it.
They said he's got like that sociopath's charm, right? He was trying to charm all the, basically, the guards, like, hey, I'm Aaron Hernandez, give me an extra burger, kind of thing, you know? Left unsaid was, in parentheses, or I'll murder you, okay? although he was accused of, allegedly, he was accused of threatening to kill a guard and his family. Remember that? Whatever happened to that?
I remember that.
You would think that, you would think they would push that one a little bit. It would seem like something you would not be allowed to do in the prison system.
Don't forget about his fight he had in Bristol County Jail while he was there about 2 months
he
ago.
He did.
Oh,
as
yeah.
Well. Yeah. So, you know.
But that jury got it wrong.
Hey, and here.
It's not the kind of guy he is.
In the interest of equal time, Tony, all right, as we're pointing out all the foibles of one Aaron Hernandez,
right.
Did you catch Jameis Winston last night on Draft Academy? Talking with Harbaugh, who apparently Jim Harbaugh had never heard that Jameis Winston stole crab legs. Did you see it? He goes, huh? He has this look in his face. Jed Fish is asking him, wait a minute. They said, have you had any run-ins with the police? He's like, you know, they're going through discipline. Have you ever been disciplined in high school? Yeah, I smarted off to my coach. He got sat down for a game. You ever been disciplined in college? Yeah, I said bad things in the cafeteria, something to that effect, right? What about the police? Were the police ever involved? Well, you know, we were hunting squirrels with a BB gun. They thought we had an assault rifle, and I got arrested for that. Is that it? Yeah. Now, you know, people are going to say, what about the sexual assault? Well, he was never questioned by the police.
Nope.
Right? He never sat down for questions. And by the way, which is your right, we were just talking about this yesterday. We watched the first 48, and you're like, shut up and ask for a lawyer.
That's right. Lawyer up.
Because the Warren Sapp video, if you've seen the Warren Sapp video of his questioning by police in Phoenix, just totally reminded me of the first 48. You know, just everything from his reaction when he knows he's
You don't
he's
sit
done.
Down in that room and say, let me just explain myself and everything will be
you.
All right.
I threw the 600 on the table and we got down to business. But so Jed Fish goes, what about the crab legs? Something at Publix. There's more. And Jameis is like, oh, yeah. Yeah. And Jim Harbaugh, it looks perplexed. He's like, what, stone crabs? What? Yes. No idea. How does he have no idea? I guess he's focused. By the way, man, what is the word? I heard the guys this morning talking about Jessica Alba, Jessica Biel, and then somebody brought up Jessica Simpson and how she wears the mom jeans. Whatever the man equivalent of that is, that's what Harbaugh wears.
Yeah.
Right? Those khakis. It's not just that he wears khakis. He's got that mom jean physique going on,
yeah.
Right? They're a little high-waisted, a little like you're like, how did this guy ever play quarterback at any competitive level? So anyway, Winston's like, yeah, you know, basically we got the hookup, right?
Oh!
Which is what, you know, when he got busted.
NCAA!
Now, he said he forgot to pay. And Marcellus Wiley tweeted at the time, he's like, oh, bro, he is covering up for the system. He's covering up for his teammates because, you know, look, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but this kind of thing, what happened at Dillard's, right, years ago, right?
Right.
I mean, that was a hookup.
Look,
it was a discount hookup.
If you're going to tell whatever NFL team is asking you about what happened with the whole crab legs thing, you're like, look, you know, we had it worked out. The players in that Publix, we had it worked out where we would take the crab legs or whatever else from time to time.
Started with a birthday cake,
right.
Tony.
To sit there and be on an interview that you know is going to air on ESPN at some point with Harbaugh and Fish and to say, yeah, we had a deal worked out with them. It was Jimbo sitting somewhere screaming at the top of just, what? Like, why?
Right. Why are you doing this to me now?
Why would you say that?
Yeah.
Well, if you want to tell every NFL team who's going to keep it in-house, fine. But not here.
Right.
Not like that. Nobody needs to know.
This is misunderstood, Tony.
Oh.
We got this tweet from Bortles Up at R. Petros. He said, did you and your close friends ever buy a buddy a birthday cake in college? Yeah, me neither, shaking my head. That does seem a little, like, really, like, hey, we're going to have, I could see, I bought him a bottle of tequila, right? I bought him, I don't know, I bought him a burger when we went out, but well, I got him a birthday cake.
Right, I had a friend come over one time, we went out for my birthday, a big group of us, and we had a good time, and when we got back to the house, I found out I had been sitting in the living room, like, watching movies or whatever with my friends, earlier in the day, and I found out that he had actually baked a cake. Like, but we were all feeling good. By the time we got home, so Cake was like, yeah, cake. It was the best. But no, he didn't buy me a cake. He baked me a cake. Does that count?
Duval Doom just put a little cake icon in his tweet about, he goes, it's Maddie's birthday? Exclamation point, question mark. A little cake and a little horn noisemaker in
all
there.
Right.
So I guess Duval Doom has bought a digital cake for Matt Jones, 32nd birthday. Happy birthday. Stay away from the icing. All right, that'll do it for the state football history and the Honda Drive around the NFL. More to come from the Jags, including Stefan Wisniewski and Julius Thomas's comments yesterday as they showed up for the first day of off-season workouts. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today continues on a Metro Rooter Wednesday for all-size plumbing jobs, whether that's in your home, like I have them in my own home, for your business, industrial plumbing, septic system, you name it. Plumbing issues, Metro Rooter has plumbing solutions. Same-day service, weekends included, the right people with the right equipment. And I mean that. I can't give you a better endorsement than saying I would let one of these companies inside my own house and fix my issues. That's exactly what I do with Metro Rooter. They've been serving Jacksonville and obviously the surrounding area since 1978. You can visit MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911, 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. And as you know, if you've listened to my programs, not only Jaguars Today, the Mike Dempsey Show for years, St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, big supporters, could be the biggest supporters we have of this program. And they're fantastic. And they make our Super Bowl trips possible every year. And they make a lot of great activities here in the city of Jacksonville possible. And you probably hear Dr. Father Nicholas Lowe on giving his inspirational messages from St. John the Divine from time to time. He joins us now on 1010XL here. Father Nick, how are you this morning?
Hey, Mike. I'm doing great, brother. How are you doing?
Doing very well. I know you're excited. I talk all the time. You know, I don't know how people realize what a strong community the Greeks are here in Jacksonville, and the business community is fantastic. The social community is fantastic. You got to be pretty excited about the Greek festival starting tomorrow at the fairgrounds, Father Nick. This is going to be absolutely spectacular.
It is, Mike, and you know, let me tell you, it's been 15 years since we had a Greek festival here in Jacksonville, and the committee, the parish, has been working tirelessly for about a year now. It's going to be an awesome family event. Beginning tomorrow, as you said, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the fairgrounds, it's going to be Greek music, so much Greek food that you don't even know what to do with, and just going to be a great time and a great opportunity for us to kind of do something for the city as well.
Yeah, a couple of things, Father Nicholas. One, not everybody can get out around lunchtime, but if you can, Thursday and Friday, 11 to 1, free admission at the fairgrounds. Doesn't cost you anything to get in, and military members are going to be free with their identification all weekend long. Kids under 12 free as well. 12 and under, as a matter of fact, are free. But the scant price it may cost you at another time, $3 to get in. Some of those proceeds are going to benefit Wilson's Children's Hospital. I know that's a charity that's very near and dear to your heart.
Absolutely. We've been, you know, very fortunate to work with Wilson's on several occasions. They do such a great, great job there. As you know, we did with the Super Bowl week. We, part of those proceeds that we did as well went to Wilson's. And so we just want to get back to our city and to make our city of Jacksonville just an amazing place to be part of, to live in. And so, yes, a portion of the proceeds from our Greek festival are going to go to making, you know, the life of a young person who's battling probably tremendous diseases or struggles in their life, to make it a little bit easier for them to, you know, help in research at Wilson's and help them do what they need to be doing to help, you know, bring about a level of peace and comfort in the life of a young person in our city. So that's what we're excited about. We're also, a majority of the proceeds are helping us to continue to build our church home and help us do the things that we want to do in our city to make it a better place to live.
Well, it's nice when you're indulging yourself over the next few days to feel like you're doing something good at the same time. And I do mean indulging yourself. The food, Father Nicholas, absolutely ridiculous. All right. I've had some of the best Greek food here in Jacksonville that you'll get anywhere. Entertainment. There are going to be tours for schools going on. Just give us an idea of what the atmosphere is going to be like for the next 3 days at the fairgrounds.
So the times are basically from 11 to 9 tomorrow and then 11 to 10 on Friday and Saturday, 11 in the morning till 10 at night. There's going to be a Greek band playing Greek music. There's going to be authentic, obviously, Greek food. homemade Greek food. There's going to be Greek dancing. Absolutely a ton of children's events as well. Thankfully, our event is going to be inside. So even if it does rain on Saturday, which is, it seems like it's being forecasted, we never know, but it's being forecasted that the event, our event is inside. And so it's going to be partially inside and outside. So it's just going to be a great fun event. And, you know, Mike, you know, in Jacksonville, we're very fortunate. We've got such a different group of different cultures and faiths here. And so, you know, when you get an opportunity to experience, because maybe not everyone can go to Greece and experience firsthand what it is to live in Greece and to experience the food and the culture. So if you, you know, this might be a great opportunity for you to take your family out, have a fun family weekend, and experience a little bit of the Greek culture and the customs, and just have a great time.
For the kids, baklava will be a popular item. For the adults, I imagine there may be ouzo to be found somewhere on the ground. Certainly Greek wine and beer is going to be out there. So drink responsibly, but enjoy yourself. That's what it's all about. It's a celebration of culture and not only the overall Greek culture, but specifically what you guys have done here in the city of Jacksonville, Father Nicholas. We're excited. I hope to see you out there. I think Friday I'm going to make it out there, so I hope to see you out there in the afternoon.
That'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll keep reminding folks the next 3 days at the fairgrounds, and give folks the times again when things are open and when they can take advantage of the Greek festival.
Okay, great. So starting tomorrow from 11 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock in the evening, there'll be all-day events, activities. And then Friday and Saturday will be from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. And so we just encourage everyone to come out there and have a great time and support a great cause. But we really want to kind of share with you a little bit of what our Greek culture is with the people of Jacksonville and kind of make a difference at the same time.
All right, Father Nicholas, I couldn't think of an organization or a group of people that have been more supportive of me here on 1010XL than the folks at St. John the Vine. I thank you as always and appreciate your friendship, and I look forward to seeing you over the next few days.
Thanks, but I really do. I appreciate it as well. Thank you.
All right, you got it. Dr. Father Nicholas Lowe of St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, Jack's Greek Festival. Check out jacksgreekfest.com for more information. Pretty much gave you everything right there. Again, military members, free with ID. Kids 12 and under, absolutely free. If you come out between 11 and 1 over the next 2 days, free admission as well. And the most it's going to cost you to get in is $3, and a portion of those proceeds are going to benefit Wilson's Children's Hospital. So there you have it. Check out the Greek Festival. We checked out yesterday, Tony, a number of the Jags coming in for off-season workouts. So we heard earlier from Gus Bradley and Blake Bortles. Let's hear a little bit from one of the newest Jaguars, Stefan Wisniewski, as well as Julius Thomas. We heard Wisniewski earlier talking about just the general impression that Jacksonville and Gus Bradley made on him. He talked yesterday as well about how he feels he can help this football team win.
I think I can help a lot, and you know, it's part of knowing the system. You know, I know Greg Olsen's system well, and his system is a quarterback-friendly system. I think Olsen's big on kind of anything a defense wants to throw at you, he wants to be ready for it. And, you know, there's a lot of preparation that goes into that and a lot of communication. But, you know, he doesn't want his quarterback getting hit. And I think that's a really good philosophy to have.
As I said earlier, Stefan Wisniewski struck me as a very, very confident guy. He was also asked about his expectations coming in here to Jacksonville. He said he expects to be the starter.
My plan is to be a starter. I don't know exactly. You know, I think the coaches, you know, might say they want me to compete. I've been a starter, you know, since I've been in this league, and I expect to continue to be one. But if I got to compete to get there, that's fine, you know, however that works out.
Julius Thomas in as well. We had him in, Tony, the day after he signed. Pretty impressive guy.
Yeah.
You know, and again, one of these guys that Gus Bradley was not able to meet before free agency opened up. And Julius hadn't met Blake Bortles in person.
Yeah.
Prior to that, and he thought, how many tight ends we have on this football team?
My first impression was, man, this guy's, he's about as big as me. And I walked up on him, I was like, man, there must be another tight end out here warming up his shoulder.
Yeah, he's a big guy. Blake is a big, big
but
dude.
But he's skinny Blake.
Yeah,
now.
He's skinny Blake now. He dropped about 12 pounds, about 3-4% body fat or something like that he talked about yesterday. You know, Julius Thomas impressed me when we met him the first time. I thought yesterday, that whole process of free agency looked like it had worn him out a little bit, even though he was one of the early signees. He looked fresh and relaxed. He was very loose with the media yesterday. He also talked about developing that chemistry with Bortles, saying it takes a little time.
it does take a little bit of time to get used to someone else throwing the football. You know, whether it's the throwing motion, the speed of the ball, the trajectory, all of it in a receiver's, tight end's mind, you know, it changes. So I got to get used to the way he throws the ball, no question, just like he has to get used to the way I cut, the way I break, my speed in and out of break. So a lot more goes into it than just two guys going out there playing catch.
All right, and with that, he talked about the work he's done with Blake up to this point.
It was great going out there and starting to build that chemistry. He can make any throw. That ball's on the line, you know. It gets there in a hurry and takes a long time to get good rapport as far as, you know, him understanding how I run routes. I'm understanding, you know, the way he throws, how quick to get my head around, all that kind of stuff. But it was definitely a good start and looking very much forward to building from there.
And Julius Thomas finally yesterday speaking with the media as the team gets their offseason conditioning underway, talked about having the opportunity to play with fellow teammate now, Mercedes Lewis.
You know, I actually caught up with Mercedes in March after I signed, and I just told him, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, I would really enjoy playing with you, and I would look forward to it. You know, he's a veteran that's done well in this league and can definitely learn some things, and I think we complement each other well.
Well, that's certainly the hope. As Gus went straight to the inline blocker yesterday, we asked him about Mercedes coming back. He said, obviously, getting the restructure done was a relief because, again, Dave Caldwell, no matter what cap space they have, they're going to put a value on these guys, and they're not going to let them play. They're going to try their best not to pay them more than what they think that value is.
Sure. And whatever money they saved on Mercedes Lewis, they basically turn around and spend on Stefan Wisniewski as well. I mean, they upgraded their center position potentially with the money that they felt like they saved on Mercedes Lewis. Now, did they have to do that with Mercedes? No. Like you said, they had cap space. They could pay Mercedes what Mercedes' contract was going to be, but they brought in a guy like Julius Thomas. Maybe they felt like we need to figure out something with Puzlesny. We need to figure out something with Mercedes Lewis. They've done both. Those questions are answered going forward for this Jaguars roster.
All right, so there you have it. And now joining us here in studio at Everbank Field, Dr. Stephen Lucia. In fact, in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios, that's convenient. He's one of the 31 physicians at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI, of course, is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Dr. Lucia, how you been?
I'm doing great.
Good. We haven't seen you, I guess, since just about the end of the season. We'll get to some of your experiences. You spent, 7 or 8 years kind of in the war room on draft day with this team, right?
Absolutely, and it's a grueling experience. Time consuming. It's tense, and a lot's on the line. But it was a great experience. It was a lot of fun.
Well, before we get to some specifics of that, Blake Bortles coming in yesterday. You just talked about the fact that really, since his college season ended, didn't really get a break, you know, and the process now for quarterbacks, especially guys drafted in the first round, expected to come in as starters, is you end your college season, you immediately begin preparing for the combine, for the draft. As soon as that's over with, you're into a rookie minicamp, you're into regular minicamps and OTAs, and on it goes, and then Blake ends up starting most of the year. Surprise you at all, or is it just normal to expect that he said his arm just kind of worn down by the end of the season?
You know, people talk about baseball pitchers all the time, and even back with Mark Brunell, occasionally we'd have to limit his throws as his arm would start to fatigue, he'd start getting shoulder pain, and yeah, it happens, you know, just like it does with baseball pitchers. You know, they get rest, these football guys don't.
No, they do, and I wanted to ask you, being in the war room, why is a doctor in the war room? Like, are they showing you x-rays? It's like, we're thinking about taking this guy. Take a look, doc. And you hold it up to the light and you go, nope, I don't feel good about this one. Or,
well, you know, that's a part that it gets left out of the process. A big part of this whole combine thing is to examine the players and get the medical grades. And so, you know, if these general managers and head coaches don't have a big enough problem figuring out who can play football, they also got to figure out who can stay healthy. So that combine process, when we examine these players, they all get graded just the way the scouts grade their football performance. We grade how we think medically they'll do from, it's usually every team has a little separate grading system, but most teams, it's somewhere of a variance of 1 through 5, 1 being the kicker's never been hurt in his life, and five being a failure, don't take him at any cost. And then in between, their risk assessments. And when, and that's a, something I don't think the Mel Kipers and Todd Shays of the world have access to. So when these guys are assessing this, there might be a great guy with great skills that you want, but your medical guy is saying, well, you can get him, but, you know, I don't know if he's going to last through his first contract. So they have to weigh the medical grades with these guys as well as the football grades.
So you're in the room basically interpreting that number one through five for the team if they're looking at as a couple of players?
Well, again, it's a process. We go to the combine, we come back, we actually review all the MRIs, we review all the data, and compile a huge book on each of these players. And then before the draft, either one or two times, the powers that be will meet with the docs and the head trainer and go over this. And so they go over it once or twice, and I'm sure they study it. There'll be calls in between, but in the draft room, you know, that first round, everybody kind of knows sort of who they're targeting. But when you start getting around round three or four, they can't remember exactly, and then it'll be, Doc, this guy's got this. What do you really think? Because, you know, we need a guy at tight end or we need a guy at tackle. You think this? And they are also a little likelier to take a medical risk in the later rounds than they are in the first round, because we've seen what can happen to people like Javon Clowney, who can't make it through the first year. And I don't know if that's something he had preceding his year, but that's what you don't want to happen.
What do you make of a running back like Todd Gurley, who has what's reported to be a clean tear of an ACL? How much of a medical risk is he? He went through the combine recheck and got as good a clean bill of health as he can get, but he's still less than, you know, a full year removed from the injury. He's not completely healed yet. How would you assess the risk with a guy like that?
You know, first of all, I haven't examined Todd Gurley, and I wasn't at the combine, but as a general sense, it's a risk, because not everybody does as well as Adrian Peterson with ACLs. In fact, in the NFL, it's a 60 or 70% chance that they'll come back at the same level. So that's 30% or so that they may not come back at the same level. You know, for a running back or wide receiver, they lose 0.2 seconds in their 40-yard dash. They aren't quite the stud that they once were. And it's a risk because he hasn't played a season after the surgery. That's what you'd like. You know, if this was 2 years ago and he played a season, no problem. You'd feel a lot better about it because he hadn't come back. So, again, that's one of those medical risks, and that bumps him up to maybe a 3, which would have been a normal ACL that had played, to maybe a 4 because he hadn't played.
When a guy like Jay Ajayi, I don't know if you've seen the story, there's some talk that some teams have him off the draft board because of a knee injury he suffered in 2011. Obviously, played very well this past year, seems to be beyond that, but do you look for some of those maybe things that could turn into degenerative situations or like healed injuries that are red flags for maybe a career being shorter than expected?
Absolutely, and that's where you're going to see one of these guys that everybody has said is so great and they're projecting. You'll see him fall and nobody will know why. A lot of the times it's exactly what you said. It's because even though he did well last year, his x-rays, MRI shows that he has some potential arthritis or problems that you're worried about. Well, maybe he'll make it through the first year, but I don't know if he's going to make it through the full contract. And these general managers have to take that into consideration.
All right, Dr. Stephen Lucy, again, one of 31 physicians at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Dr. Lucy, good to see you, and obviously learn a little bit more about how much of the medical process goes into this whole evaluation, not just watching the game film. Thanks for the time.
You bet.
All right, there you go. We'll be back here on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Fan feedback spotlight today after getting a look at the schedule. How you feeling? You feeling frisky? You feeling 12-4? You feeling 6-10? We'll take a look when we return. It's 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, we continue on Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor, Jaguars, today here live at Everbank Field. Locker room cracking open the doors, Tony, in about 30 minutes. Poke our head in there, see what's up. Say hello.
What up, fellas?
Returning guys. Saw Sergio Brown yesterday after the show, and mentioned I was going up to Chicago. That's his, I guess, his off-season home.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, you'll love it. You'll love it. I mean, is it cold right now? He goes, no, it's about 60 right now. That's perfect. Give me 60. I'll take 60 right now. Going up there next Wednesday. We check it in throughout the couple of days. I'm up there Thursday and Friday. And the goings-on in the Windy City. Don't know if I'm going to know anything more than you do watching all the coverage. Nevertheless.
Sure.
Making the trip up there next week. Don't forget the Bud Light draft party here next Thursday night. Frank Frangie and Rick Blue will be doing the show along with Brent Martineau, I suppose, right here in the afternoon, their show, and then we'll go right into the Bud Light draft party broadcast live here on 1010XL. Tickets are free. Go to jaguars.com/draft party to get yours, though. You have to get one. You have to print it out. So I guess technically you have to have purchased a computer or have access to one. How about that? So, but free otherwise to enter, but you have to have that ticket with you. Today, the fan feedback spotlight, Tony, it was a predictable one. And with the schedule out now, everybody got a chance to see how they line up, particularly that stretch from when the Dolphins leave on the 20th of September until who's coming in on the next one. Tennessee on the Thursday night on November 19th. One home game, or one Everbank home game in that midst. So we asked people to predict the record, kind of what is their gut telling them. What kind of feedback did we get there?
From high score, we got 14-1-1 predicting the tie.
That's not the high record prediction, by the way. I don't know if you've seen all of them. I don't know if they all had the hashtag in there.
Yeah, but I don't read them unless they have the hashtag. Okay. But from Tony Agolini, I got 6-10. From Paolo, people not giving us enough credit, 9-7, and a wild card spot from Stevie at Irish Jaguar, 7-9. From Isaiah, 6-10. From Joey, 9-3-4 before the bye, just a wag, and I'm biased. Hashtag want to win. Hashtag maybe 2015. From T-Mock, optimistically 9-7. Our crew is making road trips to NOLA and Tampa Bay. Have fun, boys. From Will, originally 7-9 with schedule configuration. We'll go 5-11. From Joe, it's going to be 8-8, and we will all be talking of playoffs this time next year. From Jag in Flight, I'm going to say 9-7 in the mix for a wild card. Hashtag Gus Ice Cream Truck. From Jax on Phil, I got, I think, 7-9 and in the hunt when December rolls around. From Eric, I keep coming to 6-10, but with a few breaks and surprises, 8-8 is very possible.
We'd be all over those roadies if we weren't working on game day on the pre and post. But, you know, Tampa Bay and New Orleans, although...
Yeah.
Do you want to go back to New Orleans anytime soon?
Yeah, I'll go back to NOLA.
You sure?
I got no problem.
Stay away from Drago's, maybe?
That's right. Drago's is gross.
Drago's is not gross.
Drago's is permanently stained for me.
It was the place, it was the on deck to Drago's, the drink on the pub crawl that had a slice of green pepper in it. That's, I think, the one that did you in.
Yeah, green. I got red.
Whatever. Maybe it was red pepper. It was pepper.
Cayenne on the rim of the glass.
Yes. Yeah.
It was a spicy drink.
I think that's the one that did you in.
Yeah.
I bet.
I think so.
and the smell of the oysters.
Ugh.
Ah, in conjunction. Melanie Weirich on the Facebook page says, I think it will be better this year. It all comes down to if we can protect our own home field, but I'm seeing 6-10, maybe 7-9. Either way, we're going to kill it this year. Hashtag Jaguars today. 6-10, 7-9.
Killing it!
Perhaps her definition of killing it doesn't match up with everyone, but I appreciate the enthusiasm,
Absolutely.
Melanie. Nonetheless, George Weirich says we can go 7-9. Comes down to Bortles and his progression, as well as the free agents brought in and the draft picks. And why not throw in the progression of all the other returning players as well? And then you would have pretty much covered all your bases there. George, appreciate that. Johnny Crum's got 16-0, baby. Hashtag Jaguars today. Not even going to go there, Charlie Oscar. But he did predict 10-6, and we beat the Colts twice this year. Why in the hell not? Hashtag Skinny Blake. I like that one. Skinny Blake.
Skinny Blake.
Skinny Blake. You know, Tony, again, no matter what order you place them in, the fact is the teams on the Jags schedule combined for the 26th worst winning percentage of any team schedule out there. So there are 25 teams that have it harder than the Jags on paper going into the season. We know just like the Jags are looking to get better, so are the Bucks, so are the Saints, so are the Panthers, so are the Falcons, and everybody else on the schedule. But
sure,
they won't all be better, right? I mean, the Bucks were the worst team in the league last year.
Some of them will get better, some of them won't get better. It's the way that it's situated when everything comes down is this is a team that has started, I mean, they haven't had good seasons in a while, so obviously they're starting slow, but the last 2 years they've started really slow, and you're looking at two home games and then going on the road to New England and Indianapolis back-to-back, which makes it those first two games so crucial. I mean, Mike, you look at that schedule, if they can go 2-0 coming out the gate, there's the potential of 5-2 going to that bye week.
Absolutely.
There's the potential of that going to that bye week. But if they go 0-2, who knows where this thing is going.
I mean, look, I'm not saying they can't beat New England, but it's very unlikely that they beat New England, right? It's very unlikely that any team will beat them in Foxborough next year. They're the defending Super Bowl champs. So you go 2-0, though. Even if you lose to New England, I agree. Look, they're not afraid of the Colts. They can play toe-to-toe with the Colts. They got to get some rush on Andrew Luck and got to play well in the secondary. And, you know, obviously you got to play well to beat anybody, right? But the Bucs will be starting a rookie quarterback. Houston will be starting who? Ryan Mallett, maybe? I don't know. Who's going to play quarterback for Buffalo this year, right? I mean, Matt Castle, perhaps. Ooh. Maybe E.J. Manuel,
yeah.
You know?
And they did pretty well with LeSean McCoy last year in Philadelphia.
The Jets are going to have what? Geno Smith or a rookie at quarterback? Baltimore, tough on the road, certainly. Tennessee, they could sweep Tennessee. There's no doubt in my mind they could sweep Tennessee. Doesn't mean they will. San Diego, what if San Diego, that does change the dynamic. Hang on to Phillip Rivers so we only see him once. Right?
Don't
try to Tennessee.
He has killed Jacksonville.
But nonetheless, I mean, you know, yes, he has, but I'm not going to concede any of that.
But that's kind of the point, is that those first four games are so crucial and even more crucial than I think in most years when we look at a schedule, because they do start with those two at home, and then that their toughest stretch of the entire year is that at New England, at Indianapolis, back-to-back. And for a team that hasn't had success on the field, if they're going to start 0-2 at home and then have to go into that road trip, where this thing could wind up with a team this young is, I don't even want to think about that kind of scenario, but if they start 2-0, they get some confidence, there is the realistic possibility of 5-2 going into that bye week. That's a real possibility for this football team, but they have to get started on the right foot with those first two home games. 2-0, guys. 2-0, 2-0, 2-0, no limits.
Two words. You know what they are? No limits. That's
right.
What they are. And Skinny Blake. Those are the other.
Skinny Blake and no limits.
Those are the other two words.
Ice cream.
Ice cream truck. That's three words, but you got the idea. The ice cream man, Gus Bradley. All right, that does it for us today. Thanks to Dr. Stephen Lucy of Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute for stopping by. Thanks to the Dr. Father Nicholas Lowe. That's right, he's a doctor and a reverend as well with St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church. Remember to check out jacksgreekfest.com for more information starting tomorrow at the fairgrounds, the Jacksonville Greek Festival, first time in a long time. And thanks to Tony Pauline of DraftInsider.net. Thanks to Dave Caldwell for just giving me the peace sign walking by the window.
Sweet.
Just seconds ago.
Who's
going third overall, Dave? Not going to tell us. I'm sure he hasn't heard that one before, huh? I'm sure he'll be glad to tell us in about 8 days and however many hours who's going third, and we'll find out at that point in time. Or maybe we won't. Maybe we won't find out from him. Maybe he'll have traded down, and we'll find out who's going 8th or 12th or some other concoction, combination. Coming up next, we've got XL Primetime. Joe C., T-Week Hacker, straight ahead for Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, and all the aforementioned. I'm Mike Dempsey. This has been Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.